SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So you got locked up with little snakes, big snakes. They were going in your pant leg. They were going inside your shirt. This is these are people's worst nightmares.
I'm having flashbacks right now.
Welcome, MythFits.
Nice work. Is that going to be your costume this year, or is that just like something you keep in your house? All right, welcome, MythFits, to another episode of Tori Being Weird. Okay, if you guys are listening and not watching, Tori just jumped on in a full Michael Myers costume. I'm Carrie Byron. This is Tori Belacci. We did Mythbusters for a lot of years, and now, I don't know, you guys just hit listen to us talk about memories and stuff.
I know we said no costumes, but come on. It's almost Halloween. My favorite holiday.
Tick,
I can't help it.
Tick tock.
Do you
have a costume idea already? Are you like settled?
No, not this. I mean, you know, my Michael Myers, that's my go-to. But
I've got some of those, like, I've got boxes. Like, I have way more Halloween boxes than I have Christmas boxes. Like, I've whittled down my Christmas decorations, whatever. I usually don't like do Christmas at my house. I go to family's houses, but Halloween, yeah, that's a holiday for us. So I've got a lot of backup costumes, but I have been struggling this year because I don't get to do a buddy costume because my little buddy is grown up and she doesn't want to like go trick or treating or dress in the same clothes as me. Like I thought that we would do for the rest of our lives.
They grow up and don't want to hang out with you anymore.
I know. But then when
You remember when you were a kid, you didn't want to hang out. Like when you were a teenager, did you want to hang out with your parents?
Dude, I was a latchkey kid. I was going out trick or treating by like the third grade on my own, I think.
Exactly.
I know. But like I'm also, I can do a costume for myself. But when I'm given a theme, I'm going to a murder theme, like Hitchcocky kind of party, and everybody's going to dress as famous murderers. And I want to do a movie murder because everything that I thought of in real life feels like bad taste. And I'm also going with a date. And so all of a sudden now it's like you have to do that awkward couple's costume. And I just can't. It's just like it's twice the work because obviously I'm the one that's going to be doing all the makeup and stuff. Because like,
what are you
I'm
doing?
That one.
Do you have an idea yet?
I've had so many ideas. Like I was thinking maybe American Psycho and I could just be like a chick with a chainsaw through the middle of her and he could just be, you know,
how about Jack the Ripper? You could be like one of the victims.
One of his kills. That's past enough that I think it wouldn't be in totally bad taste. But, you know, it's like we could be Kool-Aid and Jonestown Massacre. We could be...
Too soon.
I've had a million dumb ideas. I don't know. You're going to have to wait. What are you going to do? What are your ideas? What are your top 10?
I haven't really, it's like, I can't believe Halloween is already upon us. And I always do this. It's like, I wait till the last minute and then it's like, scramble and try to find a costume. So, but the good thing is my wife usually thinks about this all year. So I'm sure she has some plans for us, which is great. Cause like last year we did, Chimp Crazy, and I was a chimp. She was the crazy lady.
But you guys did like Royal Tannenbaums one year, right?
Yeah, that was one of our best. Oh my God. Yeah, we did Luke Wilson and Gwyneth Paltrow, The Ton of Bones. That was a good one. I forgot about that one. That was during COVID. And so I had like the COVID long hair. So I just was like leaning to it.
Wait, that was your real hair?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't realize.
Yeah, it was great. You know what's funny is when I had hair like that, people would come up and they would recognize me, but they didn't know where they recognized me from. And they'd be like, are you Luke Wilson? I'm like, no.
I did my own buddy costume the first year that Stella didn't want to dress like me, where there's in San Francisco, there are these famous twins and they had been dressing exactly the same since like the 40s or something. And they were adorable and they were in every iconic San Francisco picture and they always wore exactly the same outfits and they looked the same. And I think they used to be dancers or something, but they lived into like their 90s or something, still doing this shtick, you know, where they wore the same outfit. So I did a mashup of the famous San Francisco twins and the really old cult classic that barely anybody's seen, Basket Case. Because Basket Case is about twins, one of them, the conjoined twins, one of them that just starts growing out of a dude, right? All of a sudden there's little eyes and he grows and grows and grows until like he's almost a full body. And then like he gets cut off of his host brother, but he's still just like kind of an amorphous little blob with like feet, but he's also a cannibal and needs to eat. And he like attacks, he would like crawl out of night and just attack people. And it's just really awesome old bad special effects.
Such a great bad movie. Yes.
Right. So I attached a basket right here. I attached a basket. I had a little head that would pop up that looked like, you know, it was supposed to be my twin, but it was monstrous. And then I had a fake arm holding the basket. And then my real arm would go with a big, scary basket.
Oh,
I was walking around like, nobody's going to get this. They're going to get that I'm the twins, but the basket thing is going to throw everybody because who's seen this movie? Nobody. Like, this is a mashup nobody asked for. And finally, one guy at the end of the night was like, are you the San Francisco twins, but Basket Case? And I almost proposed.
They got it.
I almost was like, you
win a prize.
You complete me.
Wow. I thought you were going to go for the Shining twins. That would have been my go-to.
Yeah. No, too easy. I wanted it to be really, really strange. And for some reason, I did a like San Francisco theme for so many years. I was Carl the Fog. I was the Laughing Sal that is at the museum. And you're just, I don't know. I was very San Francisco-y.
One of my favorite costumes I ever came up with, and I was like, this is kind of brilliant. It was a superhero party. So friends of ours had a comic book company. And so every year they would throw these big giant superhero parties and you could come as a superhero or a villain or a sidekick. And so I was like, what would be the lamest superhero? And I was like, a man made out of hay. Like that would be the lamest.
You went as Hay Man?
Well, no. Then I was like, but what would be even more pathetic?
Okay.
A baby made of hay. So I built this giant, and this was on Mythbusters, because I remember in the shop on the weekend building this costume, and
I don't remember this at all.
I had a Tyvek suit, I sprayed it with 77 spray, covered it with hay, right? And then I put on I made these big giant diapers, I had a bonnet and a bottle and a rattler, and I remember this because the glue hadn't completely dried, so I was getting high during the night from the fumes of the spray glue. But it was so funny because I would walk in and I would like go up to girls and be all, hey, baby. And they were like, they would go, what? And I was like, what? I'm the hey, baby. And by the end of the party, every room I would walk into, they'd be like, hey, baby.
It was like one of my best
costumes I've ever come up with.
That is amazing. Oh, my God.
Like the girls would get all offended. I was like, oh no! What? I'm the hay baby.
You were a pickup line. You were a pickup line. Actually, I think it's so some funny. Of those Dragon Con or comic conventions. I think that actually might be a character.
Yeah.
That might be a great pickup line.
You know what, Carrie? I was looking back on episodes of Mythbusters because I knew we were going to be talking about creepy stories, scary
or something
stuff.
Halloween-y. Because it's like, of course we are.
And I didn't even remember that we did a Halloween episode of Mythbusters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I talk about the individual myth a lot because I really remember the trauma, but I forgot that was all part of like a frightening episode.
You blinked out everything else. Your memories have washed all that other stuff out because of the trauma.
There were some good myths on that, though.
Yeah. So Jamie and Adam, and it was funny because, so Jamie and Adam, they started the show where Adam is dressed like a vampire and he like pops up. They're in the blueprint room. He pops up, you know, like he's coming out of the coffin. I don't know how they did that. I was like watching it. I'm like we must have had some kind of a piston or whatever that actually lifted him up. But he pops up and he's all, welcome to Mythbusters. And you could see Jamie is just like so uninterested, like not amused, and just like looking at him. And he goes, where's my costume? And then Adam's like, well, would you wear it? He's all, no. Well, then that's why you don't have a costume. We don't have one for you. But you could just see like their dynamics where it was like Adam was so into it. And Jamie was just like, this is lame.
Have you ever seen Jamie's famous costume?
No.
The one costume that he does is so weird and awesome. I think he showed this to me before Mythbusters even started. Like we were just hanging out in the shop. He's got a bald head, obviously, and a little bit of redness to his complexion. So he would just take white rubber bands and put them all over his face so they like indented all over his head, and he'd go as a roast beef. Is it roast beef? What's the one? It's like, yes. What's the one that's all tied up? Is that right?
That's a roast. Yeah, that's a roast. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
he'd just hilarious. Go as a roast, and it would just be rubber bands on his head, but it was kind of brilliant in its simplicity. It looked uncomfortable.
Oh my God, that is genius.
I used to love having access to the shop when we would do costumes because like I'd be like, oh, I could use a vacuum form. I could make the most clever costumes. That was fun.
I miss those crazy shops.
One of my, I have a very vivid imagination. And I, even when I was young, was so creeped out by like scary monsters as much as like crazy people. Scare me. And I did my college film for films class on this theme that it was a really bad student film, and it's actually on a reel to reel, so I can't show it to you on this, but I took
Wait, do you still have it?
I do I have somewhere.
What format?
It's like 8mm. It's not anything great, so
I know.
I'll see if I can,
come on.
I know. I'll see if I can find it. If I watch it, though, I'm going to realize how actually bad it was because I was having a hard time coming up with something, and everybody was doing those art school things where it's like, girl on a train track, candle blowing out sideways, you know? And I'm just like, I just want to make horror movies. So I had taken in my parent. It was when I was living in that crappy old house, and my parents didn't care if I was destroying walls. I took and covered one whole wall over so that it was solid. And I took the back off of an easy chair and made a false back, right? So The whole idea of this scene was that, you know, this girl walks into the room, she brushes her hair, she puts on her lipstick, she sits in a chair, she reads a book, she leaves. And then after she leaves, a guy crawls out from the back of the chair she'd been sitting on. This was my college boyfriend, played the scary
creepy
guy. And he like smelled her hairbrush and stole the hair and put on her lipstick in the mirror, all creepy, and then pulls the dresser out from the wall and then descends into the wall. And then like, this was my student film and it was called like Alone. And it was like, this is something that like creeped me out, this idea. But I mean, I think the movie Parasite reminded me of this, and I went looking and there's actually several cases where people lived in the walls. Yeah. So there was this one story of the case of Daniel LaPlante, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So this family had believed that their house, they were just convinced that their house was haunted. The story was in Massachusetts, and they thought it was their deceased mother because, like, for weeks, the teenager got cryptic messages scribbled onto the wall in condiments, like, things were rearranged. They heard
it's
noises
a poltergeist
in the walls, right? And then I wrote this down. December 8th, 1986, Bowen and her family returned home to find a bone-chilling sight, a stranger in one of their closets with a painted face and a Native American-style jacket and a ninja mask with a hatchet in his hand. Like, this guy had been living in their walls.
But wait, they found him in the closet?
Like, yeah, he was just messing with them when they were away, living in their house without them knowing.
Oh, and that is so creepy.
I mean, he'd been doing it for weeks and weeks, living in a crawl space.
Uh-huh.
And like the story, like after they found him, he's gone. Right. But he goes on to like murder a school teacher. Like he's crazy.
Oh,
so
he wasn't
just a prankster. Like he was a murderer living in their crawl space. And this is like the 80s. So they were hearing this. This was at the peak of horror movies, Friday the 13th kind of movies. So like,
yeah,
how terrifying, like things moving in your house. Like you definitely feel like it was real.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, there was one story of a guy who thought he couldn't figure out what was going on in his house because he would go home. He would buy, you know, all this new groceries and like the next day, would be half gone. And he was just like, what the hell is going on? And he was asking his roommates and they were like, we're not touching your food. So this was going on for months and months. And so he finally set up a hidden camera in the kitchen, and all of a sudden these cabinet doors, like these big giant cabinet doors close to the ceiling, open up, and this lady had been living in these cabinets, would crawl out, eat the food, and when they would all go to work, then when she would get out and like just hang out in the house. But at night, when people would start coming back, she would climb back into the cabinet.
Truth is scarier than fiction. That must be where the movie Parasite got their inspiration.
You know what we used to do? For my birthday, my dad, you know, all my friends would come over to the house and we'd have a slumber party. But before we would have dinner, we'd all pile into my dad's van and he'd take us through the graveyard and we'd have like a horror tape telling scary stories. And so we'd all get all freaked out. And then he would drop us off at one end of the cemetery. And he's like, I'll pick you guys up on the other side.
No.
And so we would just be like running through the graveyard, freaking ourselves out. We were already tuned up from the horror stories. And now we're just like, get to the other side. Where's the band?
That's amazing.
That is such a
great idea. Your parents, man, they are so cool. Dropping you off in graveyards. My parents never dropped me off in a graveyard. With Thanksgiving coming up, heavy meals, celebrations, maybe a drink or two, your liver ends up working kind of overtime.
A drink or two?
Yeah. <That's it. laughs>
I'm in trouble.
So I chose Function, and you should try it too, because it gives me my health data. Most people never get to see it, especially during the busy season. I loved being able to see everything that's going on with my body. I can see everything from holiday meals to travel effects on my liver health and like see it in real time. And it helped me make smarter choices during the season without stressing out about it.
That's fantastic. I'm actually a little concerned about what they're going to tell me when they see my liver.
Here's what I really love about Function. You can detect imbalances early and you can take action with confidence, and it just really empowers you to like own your own health with like real data. So Tori, Function tests over 100 plus biomarkers, including liver markers like ALT and AST that reveal how your body handles stress. And it's Thanksgiving after all, you're gonna be hanging out with your family. So everything's tracked securely over time so you can catch problems before they start, including your liver, Tori. Learn more and join using our link. Function is a near 360 view to see what's happening in your body. And my first 1,000 listeners get a $100 credit towards their membership.
Visit www.functionhealth.com/MythFits or use gift code MythFits100 at signup to own your health. Again, that's www.functionhealth.com/MythFits with code MythFits100 for a $100 credit.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You know, I remember from that Halloween episode that we did.
Yeah.
We called it like Fright Night or Fright episode. I don't know. But, you know, we had to do the smell of fear, right? And my favorite part is when you were getting scared, you said, get me out of this monkey fighting coffin. And I was like, monkey, that is the most creative way to not swear on air. That was so great. I mean, that whole episode was... There were a lot of scary moments, like
when they
filmed us all running, but in slow motion. I'm like, ew, that's what it looked like, running in slow motion. I needed to try hard. Like, my posture was like, I was tired. Like, I looked so insane.
But I loved, it was kind of like a torture, like the fans got to torture us again. Because the whole myth is that when you sweat, normally you sweat a certain scent. But when you're afraid and you're sweating, there's a pheromone that you put out that is detectable. And they think, I don't know if it's like to scare off predators.
To bring them on. They can smell your fear.
So we set out to test whether or not there was a scent that was excreted when you're afraid and sweaty. And so to Carrie's point, we had to run on a treadmill. That was our control. So we were just sweaty. But we had these armpit pads that we stuck under there, and they would just fill up with sweat and be drenched. And then
we couldn't wear deodorant that day, so it was like a pure sample. So we were stanky.
I just remember Grant on the treadmill, and I was just like, I was like, come on, kid, you can do it. And he's all, I got this, coach. It was such a fun day. But the grossest part is then we would stick these pads in these jars, seal them, and then stick them in the freezer. And that was supposed to preserve them longer. In this episode, what we were doing was putting us in a clear coffin with different creatures. And the fans wrote in and suggested certain creepy crawlies to put us in the coffin.
Yeah. And we wrote them all in little pieces of paper and put them in a jar. And you had to pull out, and whatever the creepy crawly on the page was, that's what you were going to be locked in a coffin with.
And the coolest part about that whole experiment was we had this shop builder, Joe Sargent, and this guy could build anything. He built an acrylic coffin. It was a perfect, it was like one of the most beautiful props I've ever seen. Like his fabrication of it was flawless. So that way they could put all the things in there with us and you could see us reacting to all the critters that they dumped on us.
I mean, this was a very squealy episode for me. I think I was squealing and screaming the whole time. Even when you were covered in critters, I was screaming for your, like, I got scorpions and Grant got rats.
You got rats.
And you got snakes, and all three of those are awful.
Oh my
awful.
God. But you know, it was so crazy when you got in there with the scorpions. And so we had this one handler and he brought all the critters.
Owen,
yeah. So Carrie gets into this coffin and she's laying there and we all have like eye protection on, and he starts dropping like 50 scorpions on top of you and they're just crawling around and they started nibbling at your fingernail polish. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because I didn't realize bright orange nail polish would also be the same color as the bugs that they eat.
Yes.
So I was just inviting it. Didn't even know.
But what was crazy is you were so scared, your foot started shaking uncontrollably. We were like, stop shaking your foot. You're going to get stung. And you're like, I can't control myself right now. My foot won't stop shaking. I was feeling bad for you because you were so freaked out.
I mean, when they put the scorpions on me, they started... I mean, it was a lot of scorpions and I could feel them on my neck, and they put a lot on my face. They put one right across my face and they told me that don't worry, they won't, they'll think they're on the ground and they won't sting you unless you move. And so I was talking like this because I was like, I'm not going to move my face because I don't know where they are. And one was like right on my face, like I could see its underbelly right on the goggles. And it was so creepy. And then I really thought I was going to get stung, and 7 minutes felt like 3 hours.
I've known you long enough where it's like, I know when you're fake scared, and this was like the look on your face and the fact that your foot was shaking. I was like, she's really scared. This is not, you know, like she's not putting on a performance. She's freaked out. And we were too.
Well, yeah. Cause then when I got out, like the animal wrangler, Owen, he's like, yeah, I've never seen anybody do this before. I'm like, wait, what? He's like, no, I've never done this before. I mean, I've brought snakes to set. I brought all kinds of, I've never put scorpions. I was wondering how this was going to turn out. I'm like,
oh, geez.
What?
That's nuts. That's
crazy. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad I got to beta test scorpions for you. You're welcome. Right?
You're like, now I know for the next job what happened.
Oh my God. But like snakes were way worse. You got locked up with little snakes. Big snakes, they were going in your pant leg. They were going inside your shirt.
There was a moment. Well, it was funny rewatching it. There's Grant. So they're dumping all these small snakes. And then, you know, he's putting a big giant python in there. And then Grant is dumping snakes in. And the glee in his face, like he looked like he was enjoying torturing me. Like it wasn't like, oh man, are you okay? It was like, ha ha. And dump some snakes on you. And when he put in that giant python, oh God. And
oh then gosh.
Close the
look
the cover.
On your face. Oh, terrifying. I mean, these are people's worst nightmares to be, you know?
I'm having flashbacks right now.
That day, my daughter came to set and she thought it was so funny. Like she was little, but like my husband at the time wanted to see me being tortured too, I guess. Because they were like, I don't believe you're doing this. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But then there was a moment where the snake started getting into my clothes. And that's when it was like, okay, like, can we stop this? And there was one that had gone up my leg and they were able to pull that one out. And then there was one that had crawled into my sweatshirt, into my arm. And it was just like, how are you going to get this out? But they got it out. And I still, to this day, like you said, 7 minutes, it felt like hours.
And one of those big pythons on another episode that we did, you had it wrapped around your neck and it started getting pissed off.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. So the producer was, it was like an Indiana Jones set. We had it all set up and we were testing rope. If you use rope around your tent, that'll keep a snake out of your tent. And so the producer was like, let's do a throw for, you know, let's do a Mythbusters promo. And so the snake was like right next to my head. The handler was holding it and it was hissing. And I was like, coming up on Mythbusters. And he was all, and I'm like, I don't like this. Why is he hissing? And I was like, get this snake off me. It's irritated. So I hand the snake to the handler. As soon as he grabs it, the snake bites him in the hand 2 times and he starts gushing blood. And he's like, oh, this never happens. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. And I'm like, dude, that would have been, he would have bit me right in my face.
I mean, animals are going to be unpredictable and you got to be brave to be an animal handler. And like, no matter what, like it's, you the snake could have a bad day. I remember having that snake on my neck and it started wrapping around my neck. And I was like trying to finish my stand up and somebody was taking pictures of me and I was just like it was like getting tighter and tighter. I'm like, I think you need to get this off. They're like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, it's fine. Not.
Oh, it's fine. You'll be fine. It's on television. Nothing can go wrong.
Nothing bad happens on television. You're going to be fine. I mean, that's okay. We learned a very important thing, which is you never tell a producer what you're afraid of because they will use it against you. And I remember we were doing the Cold Feet episode, which was also about fear.
Yeah.
And when they were trying to scare you, like, you're never scared. Like, I mean, I know the snakes were bothering you, but it wasn't like, you know, we definitely all were afraid because the woman could pick our fear smell out of the samples for that
let's,
episode.
Let's just clear that up real quick. Like, let's explain what we did. So we went into each of us went into the coffin with pads under our arms, sweated with fear now, right? So now we stuck those into jars. And then we brought in a bunch of volunteers. Again, these people, God love them. And we made them smell over armpit sweat and to find out if they could tell a difference between sweat and fear sweat. None of them could really tell. So anyway, we brought this expert into the shop and gave her all the samples to smell. And she got like all of them right except for one. I mean, it was like 80% correct. So there was some validity to this myth.
Yeah, there's a smell to fear. And also, how weird is that job? Like if there's a crazy job that you can think of, it exists. She's an olfaction scientist. Like there's a science to somebody who just studies smell. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million weird things out there, but like when you're a kid, you're like, when I grow up, that's such a strange career.
I felt so bad for her, and I felt bad for our volunteers because we're making them smell our armpit pad saturated, you know, sweat pads. It was so gross, and they're just like so willing to do it.
Okay, A, she's like super stoked because she actually figured it out and she looks like a baller for figuring it out. And that's like what she does. So she's like, yeah, hold my beer. I got this, you know, like awesome. Awesome. I mean, we didn't smell like roses, or maybe I did, but like she actually could figure it out, which was so cool. And yeah. B, I bet you could have sold your armpit sweat on eBay and made some
maybe
money.
Yours. I don't know about mine, but maybe
nope,
yours.
There's a market for anything. I'm telling you, that's the rule of eBay. Like if you put it up there, somebody's gonna buy it. I swear.
You may be right. Could've made you may in. Be right. But so we were so excited that she was able to pick out some of the scent, you know, the fear scents, that we were like, let's ramp this up. Let's give her 20 samples. I think it was 20. And only one of them will have the smell of fear in it. So we're like, let's give her a really hard test to see if she can figure it out. I don't know how I won this experiment, but now it was only me that was going to be afraid. You guys were like, okay, you know, we've already done our experiment. Now, Tori, we're going to really freak you out. And so what you guys did is you took me to Calaveras County, and there was the Moaning Caverns.
The Moaning Caverns.
Oh, God. So when I was a kid, we went to these Moaning Caverns. And so what it is, it's this cave. You go down these stairs. So there's two ways to get into this cave. And this cave is underground. It's so big, you could fit the Statue of Liberty inside this cave. That's how deep it goes. So when we were kids, my parents took us there, and there's one way to get down, which is stairs, and you go through these really narrow walls. I was getting very claustrophobic, but then you come out onto this patio, or like, you know, a deck that looks over the cavern. But if you're adventurous, you could rappel down into the cave through an opening. And that always used to freak me. Like that, just the thought of that scared me. And you guys knew that. So you're like, we're going to Moaning Caverns, and we're going to make you rappel down into this cave.
Because it's your one kryptonite. Your one kryptonite. You're not scared of anything. Like, we did so much dumb stuff, and you're like, yeah, I'll be buried alive. But like, heights.
My hands heights are getting sweaty. My hands are getting sweaty just thinking about it.
There have been a couple episodes where you had to do a dive. It's like the one time where I feel really superior, because like, you do everything and like excel at it. But this is the one thing that I can handle. So I'm like, yeah, let's jump off the building. Go, Tori. Yeah.
Totally. And you were like, I don't know if this didn't make it into the episode, but there was one where you just went down and you were like, this is so fun. Just rubbing it in my face. And then
I know,
as
sorry
I'm
about that.
And then as I'm going down, you're like rattling the rope. Like, you guys were like, oh no, we forgot to hook in the line just
what
to
a
add
jerk.
More fear to me.
Look at the glee. Like, we're like, finally, Tori's afraid of something, and Grant and I are like, let's mess with him.
Oh my God.
So mean.
And then there was one point where I was getting caught up in the ropes, and I was just getting so frustrated and so freaked out. It was like, you guys did well done. You freaked me up.
I mean, it's very high up and it's a very freaky cave because it's dark and it's weird. Oh. So I guess you're never going to go rock climbing with me. Is that the case?
That's safe to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, we took those armpit pads back to the shop. We brought her in. We had 20 jars out. All of them were regular sweat except for my fear sweat. And she wasn't able to pick it.
Maybe you weren't that afraid. I was
terrified. You guys knew it because
you were like,
holy crap, he's getting really upset.
I know. I never see you. Like, you don't get flustered generally. Like no matter what happens, you're like, it's going to be fine. But like, this was the one time
where you were
mad. You were flustered. Like, your eyes were bugging out. You were sweating. Like, if there was ever a time we were going to get a good sample, it would have been then. It would have been then. Yeah.
So one of the other myths that Jamie and Adam were doing, because it just reminded me of this other creepy story that I found online. It was, can you transport a body? How easy is it to transport a body, right? You see it in the movies.
Oh, like a dead weight, like
corpse,
being able to
right?
carry like a floppy body.
Exactly. So they had this whole setup, you know, the obstacle course. They went with just like a ball of chains to weigh 150 pounds. And then they moved on to a cindaver. So it's a synthetic cadaver.
Ew.
And it looks really authentic, right? It looks like a real cadaver, and they use it for science purposes. But so I was looking online. So there's a story about this guy who, he was like a wayward kid, and he got sent off to some boys' camp to like, you know, help them get on the right path. And the mother knew about it. The father was more involved than the mother. So the mother would like talk to him occasionally. But anyway, he dies mysteriously, and they mm-hmm. think that, you know, he was doing steroids. He was like working out. And so they thought, you know, it had caused some heart problem. They thought that might have been, it was like a heart attack. But when they did an autopsy, it turns out that there was cyanide in his body. Huh. And they're like, okay, this is super suspicious. He was not suicidal. So how did this cyanide get in the body? Anyway, so the mother calls the father and is like, you know, I want to see his body. And the father's like, he's already been cremated. And she's like, okay, can I get some of the ashes? He's like, no. So he was acting very weird.
Whoa.
Around.
They didn't do an autopsy. They just like made an assumption.
Well, they did the autopsy and found the cyanide, but then they quickly, the father had him cremated. So that, you know, she was just like, this is so weird. And she's like, can I have some ashes? He's like, no. So the whole thing was very bizarre. So now, years later, she's in Las Vegas and she's at the Bodies Museum. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that, right?
No, but it sounds pretty dark.
So it's all these human bodies that have been like put in these poses like they're playing tennis. They've all been stripped
of their
skin.
Oh, the plasticized bodies.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Bodies Museum, I think it's called. She walks up to this one like posed body. And she recognizes him as her son.
Wait, they don't have skin on him or anything, do they?
Well, his face is still intact. So
Wait,
it depends. So, some of them, they peel the faces. Some of them, they leave them. I mean, I'll show you a picture of what it looks like. So the face is intact, but his, you know, they stripped all the skin off the rest of his body so he could see all the muscles. But she is looking at him and is like, this is my son. And
no.
Yes. How creepy is that? And so she was like, can I get a DNA test of him? Like, I want to prove to everybody that this is my son. And the facility like escorted her out. There was no investigation. They're like, no, we source our bodies, you know, from volunteers. And she's like, convinced. She's like, that's my son.
That's just the end of the story. Like, we don't have a resolution on that. I want to know.
So it gets even, then it gets even weirder. There is...
How could this get weirder?
Well, let me tell you. There was a pregnant lady display in this museum. And so in China, there was this newscaster who had an affair with some Chinese official. He was like a mayor of some city. I don't know exactly what his status was, but he had an affair with her and got her pregnant. So his wife was not happy with this. And this TV host just disappears. She just vanishes and no one knows where she is. They find out later that woman, the pregnant woman, had been made in a factory in China. That's where they make these bodies. And the owner of that factory was the wife of that mayor.
Wait, so she took this woman, murdered her, plasticized her pregnant body, and then sold it to the museum?
Allegedly. I don't
that
know.
That is
crazy?
Wild.
Yeah.
I always wondered, like if you are you donating your bodies to science? Are you signing up ahead of time when they do this kind of thing? Because it's kind of the work of art. I kind of need to do some digging on this. It's like Bodies in Motion. Isn't that what it's called? Something like that.
It's creepy. I went to the one in Vegas, and it's very controversial because they think a lot of the bodies come from prisoners.
Ooh,
in China. Yeah.
Nah.
So it's like this weird, are they really volunteering their bodies or are they just, you know, taking them and using them?
I mean, it was always pretty weird on Mythbusters how many skulls we worked with, and like we would go to the bone room and they were human skulls. You're like, where did you get these? Like,
why
can I buy this for $300? That is so strange. And it's like, no. Like, yeah, they just donated.
So wrong.
Okay, I feel fully creeped out.
I know, right?
Creepy stories. Like,
how good
this is
that?
I feel very Halloween spooked out, and we didn't even come to any stories where a hook is left on the window.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's so many weird ghost stories and mythologies around Halloween. I mean, do you remember when you were a kid, they thought there were going to be razor blades in the apples? First of all,
yes.
Who's giving out apples on Halloween?
I know.
What? That's a terrible prize.
That's the worst. It's like giving candy, not fruit.
Yeah. It's like you go to the houses with the raisins or like the toothbrushes.
The raisins are the worst. They're like, oh, they're healthy snacks.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to skip your house. I'm going to go to the rich people's neighborhood where they have full candy bars. Okay, so the apple razor myth, I mean, I heard that all the way to the time I was a kid. Turns out.
Yeah, totally.
Myth busted. There was never razor blade or sewing needle ever found in an apple or candy bar. But the police used to, like, I think it was in the 50s, used to stage photos of that.
So they
could try to warn parents. Because if you saw it in the paper, it must be true.
I mean, it would be so obvious. You would like look at the apple and there'd be a giant slice in it, or a little slice even. You'd be like, I'm not eating that. What the hell's in
there? Besides, no kid is eating an apple on Halloween. If you've got candy.
Wait a minute. That's not true.
That's not true?
We used to play dunking for apples. You ever played that game?
Oh.
You get like a big tub of water and you put apples and you like have to dunk your head in and bite the apple. You never played that?
Nope. Never did that because I would have messed up my Halloween makeup. Never want to mess up my makeup. We did the thing where you blindfold yourself and then you'd had peeled grapes and they felt like eyeballs, or like,
ooh,
you have to stick your hand in the box
and
feel
noodles,
around and like,
and
guess
brains.
What it is. Is it brains or is it noodles?
Oh, did you ever play Bloody Mary?
Oh my God, this used to scare me so much. I think in the fourth grade, Amanda Friel, her big sister, made me go into the bathroom because she was like, you have to do it. I don't know. She was older and scarier. So like I had to look in the mirror, say Bloody Mary 3 times, and then Bloody Mary was going to show up in the mirror. And I remember saying it 3 times and just like closing my eyes. I couldn't do it. But she locked me in there. She locked me in there.
Oh, that's funny.
Until I did it.
the way we used to do it was you would go into a dark room with another person, and then you would look at it, you would close your eyes, face each other, and you would both say it. And it's supposed to be when you open your eyes, that person's face transforms into Bloody Mary. Ooh. But I remember we did it and we had fake blood. So we went in with my cousin.
Of course,
and
you did.
She closed her eyes and we put fake blood all, you know, I had blood dripping down my eyes, and it was like, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And then she opened, she was like, ah!
Oh my God, your family is so fun. I wish I was your cousin. That would have been amazing.
What other Halloween myths were there?
Okay, so there's always something about like some sort of tainted candy, but there was one about temporary tattoos that had LSD on them. I remember that. Right? We're like, oh, if you put on that temporary tattoo, so you're like, oh, I'm scared of using the tattoos. Because, you know, drug dealers just love to give away their product.
They just love wasting their product on kids.
That never actually happened. None of those temporary tattoos. No, at least there were no reported cases of kids tripping out on LSD because they had a temporary tattoo.
I had a friend one time, he thought he was roofied. We went to a bar and like the next day he was like, I think I got roofied last night. I don't remember after leaving the bar. And we're all like, dude, nobody wasted a roofie on you. You're tripping. I think I got roofied. No. You definitely did.
No, you definitely did.
Do you remember back masking in songs?
You mean when you played the song backwards?
Yeah. When I was in going to catechism, the church was like all warning all of the parents, if you know, watch out for these songs, because if you play them backwards, they have like evil messages or bad messages. And so
The devil plays music. I love it. It's that devil music, that rock and roll.
Or it's like trying to corrupt your kids. But it was funny because it's like, who's playing the songs backwards? But I do remember Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. Do you remember that
Shut
one?
Shut up. Shut
I gotta,
up.
I got to find this one because it's so funny. Do you hear it?
Is he saying smoke marijuana?
It's fun to smoke marijuana.
Oh my God, it really says that. It's fun to smoke marijuana.
I mean, some people
That's
think
real.
It's fun. Yeah, it is fun. I mean, you know, if you're into that, it could be fun to smoke marijuana.
I mean, how many people are playing records backwards looking for messages? I think the Beatles did one on purpose, right?
Yeah, the Beatles did one. Stairway to Heaven, I think that's another one.
Oh man, back before the internet and we had to entertain ourselves playing records backwards so he could find the messages from Satan.
So crazy.
That's awesome. All right, Tori, it's the end of the show. I know this is our favorite topic, but it's the end of the show.
Oh,
so it is time to take a fan question. And we did get a video question. It came from Robert on Instagram. You ready?
Hey, Myth Fits. This is Robert from Madison, Wisconsin. Just wondering, is there any myth that, whether confirmed or busted, that fans just refuse to believe? Personally, the car on the edge of a cliff, if a bird lands on the hood, I still think that could happen. You did nothing wrong with the testing. It was perfect. You couldn't have done anything better. I still think there's a sweet spot where it could happen, like a one in a million thing. Just curious if anyone else had those.
Dude, thank you, Robert.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's
a great
question.
That was awesome. Okay, yeah. There were a few myths that fans refused to believe. They're like, I've definitely seen this. One was splitting an arrow. We revisited
that. That was the infamous one.
So many times, because they believe that you shoot an arrow, and then I think it was an Errol Flynn myth, and then he'd shoot an arrow into that arrow and it'd split perfectly in half. And we tried it in so many different ways. We even went to a Ren fair and had to dress up.
Oh my God.
In Ren fair costumes.
I forgot about that.
Oh my God. What a goofy day. Like everybody doesn't break character. Do you remember this? I'd be like, we were already in the outfits and I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. Where's the bathroom? And they're like, bathroom? What is this bathroom you
Pray
speak
tell,
of? Like,
my lady, what is a bathroom?
You're killing me, buddy. I gotta find the bathroom. I don't know how to say this in Ren Faire. Somebody translate for me.
Yeah. I remember I was talking to one dude and I was like, so like, what do you do for work outside of this? pray tell, my lord, what is this? I am a blacksmith. That is my job. I'm like, you don't have a lot of friends, dude.
You're like, dude, you're wearing Nikes. Come on. Or a helicopter went overhead and they all would like run for cover and go, dragon.
Yeah, it was
they
funny.
They got into it.
That was pretty funny.
The splitting and arrow, that myth came back and back and back.
Yeah, I think we retested it. I think we tested it and then retested it two more times.
Yeah.
And it was finally, we came to the conclusion that in the movie, it was Robin Hood, that they were using a bamboo shoot, and that's why it split perfectly. But if, like, with a wooden arrow or, yeah, with an aluminum arrow, you can actually, you know, another arrow can jam down another arrow. But to split perfectly, like in the movie, you can't do it with a wood arrow.
I mean, we got to a couple times where it was like, okay, this is good enough. Are you guys happy? Like, yeah, we get split-ish. Split-ish, yeah. Plausible. Split perfect, busted still.
But I like his idea about retesting the balanced car on a cliff.
Because that was fun.
Yeah. I mean, what if you dropped an ostrich? What if an ostrich jumped on the front? That would definitely send it over the edge, wouldn't it?
I mean, maybe we just needed a bigger sample size and just keep crashing cars all day long. New Mexico Tech would be down for that. They were always down for whatever nonsense we came up with.
I know.
Yeah, can we take a car, balance it on a cliff on your campus, and then just keep throwing birds on it till it falls?
Remember I made a robot turkey?
Oh my God, that thing was disgusting. It was so hot in New Mexico, and it was like browning in the sun. Oh, it was just disgusting. I have video of it just going,
yeah.
Little gross wings.
I had like these little actuators that I like strapped to the back of the turkey. It was like a Thanksgiving turkey. You know, like it was just cleaned, and so we thawed it out. I attached these little actuators on its arms, and then I recorded a horrible like. But I just remember when we pulled it out, you're like, "Oh my God, is that a robot? Did you make a turkey robot?" It was so weird.
Grant's like, "That's not a robot. That's a puppet." I remember he was like, "It's like that is not a robot.
Officially a robot.
That is a puppet."
Oh my
he was
gosh.
A purist. That man.
That's so funny.
Sweet Grant. He was such a purist. That is not a robot.
Oh, God. Robert, thank you for that question. It was perfect. Please keep sending those video questions in. We love them. Carrie, this has been so much fun talking about Halloween.
I know. We don't have a guest today. It's just you and me. Just, you know, waxing poetic on the old days. I can't wait to see what your costume is. Please
yeah.
Please send me a picture. Post it if you can.
I will,
and hey, you guys out there, if you've got a fun Halloween costume, say you want to dress up as Tori Belleci for Mythbusters, tag the MythFits podcast. You might get to see it here. Watch, like, follow, subscribe, do all the things so we can keep coming back here every single week and BSing together because this is like my favorite day of the week.
Awesome. Yes. Thanks, guys. Stay spooky. All right.
All right. Tori's got his Michael Myers mask back on. He's back out there to stay weird and terrorize the public. Stay weird, MythFits. Or stay spooky. You're actually going to go, you're actually leaving with your knife. MythFits out.
Pioneer.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.